Mr. Trent was fumbling and nervous and greatly embarrassed. "With ample reason," snapped one outraged observer, at what he had to report, while Mr. Fowler recounted his own experiences in a voice so low that the prosecutor was continually obliged to ask him to speak up. There were a few shocks in Pierce's testimony. One was the following exchange, which occurred on the third day of his appearance in court. "Mr. Pierce, are you acquainted with the cabbie known as Barlow?"
"I am."
"Can you tell us his whereabouts?"
"I cannot."
"Can you tell us when you last saw him?"
"Yes, I can."
"Please be so good to do so."
"I saw him last 6 days ago, when he visited me at Coldbath Fields."
Here there was a buzzing of voices within the court, and the judge rapped for order. "Mr. Pierce, why have you not brought forth this information earlier?"
"I was not asked."
"What was the substance of your conversation with this man Barlow?"
"We discussed my escape."
"Then I take it you intend, with the aid of this man, to make your escape."
"I should prefer that it be a surprise," Pierce said calmly.
The consternation of the court was great, and the newspapers were plainly outraged. "A graceless, unscrupulous, hideous fiend of a villain," said the Evening Standard. There were demands that he receive the most severe possible sentence. But Pierce's calm manner never changed. He continued to be casually outrageous. On August the 1st, Pierce said in passing of Mr. Henry Fowler that he is as big a fool as Mr. Brudenell. The prosecutor did not let the comment go by. Quickly he said, "Do you mean Lord Cardigan?"
"I mean Mr. James Brudenell."
"That is, in fact, Lord Cardigan, is it not?"
"You may refer to him however you wish, but he is no more than Mr. Brudenell to me."
"You defame a peer and the Inspector General of the Cavalry."
"One cannot," Pierce said with his usual calmness, "defame a fool."
"Sir, you're accused of a heinous crime. May I remind you of that?"
"I have killed no one," Pierce replied. "But had I killed 500 Englishmen through my own rank stupidity, I should be hanged immediately."
This exchange was not widely reported in the newspapers, out of fear that Lord Cardigan will sue for libel. But there was another factor. Pierce was, by his own testimony, hammering at the foundations of a social structure already perceived as under attack from many fronts. In short order, the master criminal ceased to be fascinating to anyone. And in any case, Pierce's trial could not compete with tales of wild-eyed niggers, as they were called, charging into a room full of women and children, raping and killing the females, skewering the screaming infants, and disporting in a spectacle of blood-curdling heathen atavism.